Phoenix FM, brought to you in association with St. Francis Hospice, doing more than you think.
Now, we've got in the studio, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes. And you're here to talk about?
Friends of Essex and London Homeless, a charity that I co-founded.
Brilliant. Okay, can't wait for that. Coming up first, though, we've got a little bit of breakfast in bed with UB40. You UB40 fan, Steve?
Yeah, I think I'm old enough to say I am, definitely.
Okay. Don't have to give your age away, Steve. Yeah, loved a bit of Pretenders as well, did you, Steve?
Yeah, I remember it. I'm not a great big fan of them, but I do remember them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of their famous song. I don't know what it is today. I've had such a busy weekend with the football, because you're a football guy as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a football guy with sort of an indifferent result on Saturday for Grays Athletic. Last-minute equaliser against us, which was a bit of a body blow. And on the quiet, I'm a Newcastle fan for my sins, who, you know, we're doing quite well at the moment, so we'll take that at the moment. One win out of two.
Fair enough. Did it feel like a loss, really?
Yeah, but I mean, look, we probably didn't perform to our best on Saturday, Grays. We sort of dragged ourselves back into the game, got up to 3-2, and just, you know, maybe a bit of game management at the end, a little bit unfortunate, didn't pick up on any guys, and they nicked an equaliser. So it did feel like a loss, really, because it was sort of the last minute. It felt a little bit like a loss, which was quite harsh, because, you know, we fought to get ourselves back in the game.
Oh, that's so sad. Where are you in the league now, Steve?
We're currently sitting sixth at the moment. Back into fifth, but we've got two games in hand. We're in the playoffs just, but we're in and out at the moment. We've got Felix, though, got a couple of games in hand on us. So, you know, we could do with a favour, and we just need to go on a bit of a run in the last four games now. Four cup finals to go, as they say.
Yeah. But listen, let's talk about your charity, because it was yourself and your wife, Kathy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That started it all off.
Me and my wife, Cheryl,
Cheryl.
Sorry, Cheryl.
I'm shouting out and calling you Kathy. Sorry about that.
So, 2016, we were both working. Cheryl's always been quite a kind person. Maybe I've not been known to be as kind. I worked in the motor trade, sold them cars to people that didn't want to buy them in that colour that they didn't really want to buy, etc. Run sales teams, etc. So that's what I did. And one day I got this text message from Cheryl saying, "We're going to London on Wednesday," which I thought, well, that's brilliant. Theatre, lunch, what we do. And she went, "We're going to give out sleeping bags to the homeless." I can't probably say what I text back at that point. She said, "Look, please take me up there. I don't like driving in London." So under duress, I went up. With one of our daughters, Keris, and had a great evening. And in the end, on the way home, the inevitable question from Keris and Cheryl was, "Can we go again?" To which there was a deathly silence in the car, because I was expecting me to fill the air with blue expletives. And I just said, "I'd love to go again." And I suppose, as they say, the rest is history. Here we are as a registered charity, and it's a huge passion of ours and mine.
Yeah, because it's only since like 2016 you started, in December 2016. It's only since like 2018, really, you've been a registered charity. You know, you've got over 30 plus volunteers, Stephen.
Yeah, it's really difficult to get volunteers and to keep hold of them, because how we try and operate is we try and have the same people there as often as we can.
Sure.
So what that only does is make us better as a team when we're there. So it's the same people there, so we all know what we're doing, we understand the processes. And secondly, more importantly, we thought it was about giving out food to people, which it is, and clothes and items like that. But what we've really realised, it's about just seeing a friendly face. And if you see the same friendly face quite often enough, that gives people hope for the following week when we go back. Yeah. And sometimes we can reach out in other ways, but it's not always reaching out in the big ways, like potentially helping them back on to the roads of recovery. Just sometimes a smile, a look, passing the time of day in a normal conversation that you and I may have when we see each other as colleagues or friends. They don't seem to get a lot of that interaction from a lot of people, so just to have a "how are you, how did the appointment go, did you hear it, what do you think about that on the news," and things like they're probably just as important as giving them out some of the more important things that people think that we do, the interaction with them, because not many people don't know what to say. Engage. You're frightened.
Yeah, I get that a lot, because I used to be, when I was younger, I just used to blank people and used to say hello, or even asking for money and stuff like that. But I always say, "How you doing, mate? Sorry, I've not got anything." Just, or "Good morning," when I pass by, and sometimes they can't believe it. And the smile on their face changes their day, because they're invisible, aren't they, on the streets?
Yeah, a lot of people are, and they're invisible because we're so busy, or they're invisible because we're frightened and we don't know how to engage. We're presuming that everyone's an alcoholic, everyone's a drunk, and I'd probably say saying percentage wise is a lot of people, a lot of them may take a drug or some form of alcohol, understandably, because of the situation yeah. they're in. But you find, I've probably spoken to, and had conversations with some of the nicest people I've ever met that are street homeless.
Yeah.
Because, and probably people I'd avoided myself in the past
sure.
Because you sort of gravitate to your own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not being horrible, they're probably not my own, if that makes sense.
No, that's right.
But now, you know, I see them all the time because it's on my scale that I see them. So I want to go and speak to them. And we always get down at the same level of them. Don't, try not to talk down over them. Try and get yeah. down on your knees with them and sort of yeah. get face to face, just so you don't look like you're... It's all subliminal, but you're just trying to make them feel like they're as equal as you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have so many people say to us each week, oh, you're just the best charity. And they take that with a pinch of salt because you're probably giving them something or doing something nice. But it's been said so many times when we're up there that we're different. We have a different approach. Our food seems to be better because it's different food every week, not because we choose to be different, it's just whatever we get our hands on that we can cook.
And just to clarify, people that don't know, you open two soup kitchens, don't you? One in Grace and one in London, right?
Correct. So London's our first one, because that's where we went. We didn't know where to go when we started it, as in going up there to give out sleeping bags. So you just go to what you think is the right place to go to. So we went to London first, and then 2 years after that, we said, look, we want to do something more local. And we started in the Grays area and Thurrock, where we live, and that's coming up to 5 years old. That's also expanded into more of a, use the word food bank, but we don't we're not the food bank, but we use that term, or essential foods. A lot of people that we deal with in Grays, thankfully, are not homeless, but unfortunately they are struggling to put things on their table. We had a conversation a couple of years ago. It's really difficult to say to somebody, oh, I'm not homeless, but can I have something to eat? And if, well, you're not homeless, we're a homeless charity, come back and see me when you're homeless. That sounds really rubbish. And then they come back in 2 weeks and say, some great news, Steve, I've managed to make myself homeless, can you feed me? Yeah, that's excellent, come on. So we thought, we need to start doing a bit of preventiveness as well. So the food bank side of it came in. So if we can stop people by helping them with a little bit of food and dinner for a few days after we've looked after them in Grays, then that hopefully will keep them on the straight and narrow till Monday when the services are back open, because we go on a Friday.
Ah.
So we try and give them enough food to see them Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
So at least then they've got the opportunity to talk to different services on Monday that are going to be back open again. And sometimes there's a bit more food than that, but it's generally trying to get people to Bundy so they can start liaising again with the services that close at 5 o'clock on a Friday night generally, or they have skeleton staff.
And it's 100% of funding. It's through donations from your followers, like on social media and stuff. And you've got an Amazon wish list as well, which we can talk more about later. But it's down to you, and your wife, really, just organising everything, sorting everything out to really make a huge difference. I mean, how many people would you say on one of these nights would you get coming along?
So in London, we can be anything from about 130 to 150.
Whoa.
We have had more in the past, but that's sort of in and around the numbers we're talking about. Grays, obviously, we're looking at smaller numbers, but we can be anything to 40 to 50 people in Grays on a Friday night come to see us for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Some are not there every week. We have some really honest people that will come down at the end of the month when their benefits or their wages are not stretching far enough, and they'll only come down once or twice a month. And we have other people there every single week. So we're probably circa, you know, nudging that 200 people a week that we're constantly helping. That's just at the soup kitchen. There's obviously little bits and pieces that we do during the week if we get alerted to anybody that might be sleeping rough, and we may get involved in seeing what we can do to assist that person as best we can as well.
And regarding the food, Steve, is it like, do you actually prepare it yourself, or is a lot of it from like supermarkets and things like that?
Well, I'd like to say that it's all down to me.
You do,
and
all
I do all the cooking, but that would be a lie. So we've had numerous cooks over our time that are cooked from their homes. So that, I think that's where we get this comment of our foods are so much nicer because they're home cooked.
Nutritional,
We've got one lady called Marilyn that's been with us since forever, since we started, and she's seen many of cooks come and go that have helped us out. My wife chips in with the cooking where needed. We've got a lady called Sam at the moment that helps out, but we've had a number of people that have done the cooking for us. But because it's done from the home, you do get a bit of that home feeling. It's not just a bit of slop served up, and our dinners are served up slightly different to a lot of homeless charities.
All right.
We put ours into the foil dishes with the white lids on top of them, which you might get your Chinese dishes where you get your rices in.
Sure, yeah.
It doesn't seem like a lot, but we have pastries, cakes and sandwiches as well. And they go in the heat bags with the foil dish, and they stay warm for 4 to 5 hours.
Wow.
And the idea behind it was convenient for us to serve because we could just hand it to somebody with a fork or a spoon.
Yeah, yeah.
But more importantly, that person's then got a choice. They might want to eat it with us or they might want to go and find out where they're bedding down or back to their hostel and take their dinner back with them. So there's a little bit of an option, whereas a lot of charities will serve it on the plate and then they've got a, you've got really got to eat your dinner here and there, haven't you, because it's going to go cold. So a little bit through default, because we didn't want to serve it ourselves up there.
Yeah.
And also, it worked out. That just allows people to decide where they want to eat then.
Yeah, amazing, Steve. Look, I want to find out loads more. But I'm going to play a record now. You've got a request already. Do you want to say why you chose it as well, Steve?
Yeah, so this song is for my dad. Unfortunately, he passed away on the 7th of January. It's a little bit raw still for the family. But it's just a tribute to him. And obviously my wife as well, Cheryl, her father passed away sort of 10, 12 years ago now. And again, they were both massive Elvis fans. That's just a little hello to them too.
Well, it's a one.
That's a cracking tune there.
Thank you.
My legs were going all over the place as well.
Yeah, I think my knees were bouncing up and down. Well, a bit of dad dancing underneath the table.
In the table. I heard it, yeah. You know, that's lovely stuff. Yeah, sorry to hear about that as well, though, Steve.
No, that's okay. But yeah, just a little hello to both of them.
Okay. There's loads of places where people can donate, but where's the best place for them to actually go?
So we've got a couple of drop-off points there. If people want to drop off any donations, we've got one in Upminster. We've got two in the Grays Thurrock area. If you go into our social medias, which is any of our social medias, you'll get the addresses of where them places are. Or you can go on our website as well. If you just tap in our name, it will come up for our social medias or our website. And you'll be able to, there's a telephone number attached to each of the drop-offs. We always ask you to give them a call first. Two of them are businesses, so the businesses are business hours. And you can then make your donations and drop them off, whether it be clothing items. If you're looking at any foodie items, it's non-perishable, so very much sort of tinned items, cereal, long life sort of stuff. We don't want anything that's overly fresh because it's just not acceptable to drop overly fresh stuff off because we just won't get to it and it will potentially smell out the person's house or business if we go there. But so that's non-perishable really is what we tend to use a lot ourselves.
And you don't have sort of like bric-a-brac or any sort of stuff like that either?
We have in the past. When we do boot sales, we only shout out for that if we're doing something specific like a boot sale to raise any money, because otherwise we'll have the world and its mother dropping off
everything.
Boot sale items, and we just haven't got the facilities to take that on, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's just real clothing items, and we always ask people, think sensible, think what you would prefer to be sat outside in all weathers. It's no good bringing a pair, you know, them flip flops, that nice summer skirt, that nice dress, you know, them nice slacks that you might wear out somewhere. It's practical joggers, t-shirts, layers, hoodies, jogging bottoms, trainers. You know, we don't need high heel shoes and stuff like that. They're nice, but we don't really need that. We just need something. Think if it was you out there, what would you want to be sitting out in the rain and all the bits and pieces? You don't really want some of the normal clothing that we may wear ourselves at times through our lives. It's practical, hard wearing stuff.
Yeah, that's great stuff. So it's spring, people are sorting out their wardrobe as well, so it's a perfect time to do it. And you can go to the website, which is www.foelh.com, and it's got the donation drop-off bit in there. You can easily find it from there, right?
Yeah, you just get to the drop-down at the top right-hand corner, and you just pick, select what you want to look for, and the donations will be on there, and it will take you to where our donation points are.
Yeah, but it's scary to think, isn't it? Like, there's, I always say, like, there is one step for all of us being homeless. You know, I mean, I've been out at night and seen young kids having a go at homeless people, and I've shouted out sometimes myself without thinking. You know, we're one step away ourselves. You know, just stop. You know, a bit of respect and all that kind of
thing. I mean, in the current climate as well, it's even worse for many of us with the increase in the cost of living going up with the heat, as you may hear people talk about. And some people are even struggling even more. And I'll probably say this is our seventh year operating, that it's I'm the closest I've ever been to people that I would class the same as me, if that sounds, if you know what I mean. Yeah. When I started this, a lot of the people we were dealing with were people that are entrenched or had come from a background that was a tough start in life, and that's all they really knew. What we're starting to see now, we are starting to see, and I hate this word, we are starting to see what we deem to be normality coming to see us, where people who've never had to tread these boards or walk these sort of paths, and they just it doesn't make it any easier for anybody that does know that, but they haven't got the skill sets, many of them, to know what to do in that arena because it's so new and fresh to them. So they are really, really vulnerable, those people. Everyone's vulnerable, of course, but those people that are coming in as real newbies because of the cost of living, you really do think, oh my goodness me, that is really close to me. As a person, because I think that could well be me now, because they've lived a similar life to what I've lived. So it is really, really difficult, but you can just be there. You've got to be kind. We have a little hashtag, kindness is contagious.
Love that.
And if we can all be, I will say, if we can all be just 5% kinder, maybe smile, say good morning to somebody. I know a lot of you would have noticed in COVID we started doing that
because we
started seeing all these people with their new dogs or these people that wanted to do exercise a bit more to clear their mind because they were stuck at home. And we started talking to our neighbours. We started talking to perfect strangers that we wouldn't even have eye contact with, head down and off we went in case something happened. But we were talking to these people as if they were our long-lost friends. And it's slowly finishing that. We've gone back to a little bit of how we used to be now, and it's a shame. We need to remember, just 5%, just say good morning to somebody. How was your weekend? And before you know it, you're having a conversation with someone for 2 or 3 minutes, and people will feel so much better for it. And if we do that to people that we see every day and pass every day, and that gets spread, then who knows who ends up getting that conversation.
Steve, you need to be an inspirational speaker, I think, as well as everything else
you do.
But listen, if someone's out there and think, oh, yeah, I'd like to volunteer, or know someone that might, or someone just be having conversations. Oh, I was listening to Phoenix FM and I heard this bloke, Steve, talking about this charity. Do you want to get involved? How can people do that?
Well, again, back to our website. We've got a drop down on our website that you can fill an application form out. We do have a waiting list. It's not a huge waiting list. But we do, and the reason we have the waiting list is because we're pretty regular with the people that we have. And we do, our London one changes are quicker than our Greys ones because a lot of our Greys volunteers are relatively localish. It's easy for them to get to. Our London ones can change because their jobs change or they move away from the city a bit more, so it's harder for them to get to. I set a benchmark really high for our volunteers, which sounds mad. We have a benchmark of what we expect. We want you to be there as 100%, as close to 100% as you can be, because that builds up the team ethic. And more importantly, it builds up the homeless that we're dealing with and the people in poverty. They get to see that familiar face. Some people might not gel with me, but they might gel with somebody else and vice versa. So to have a varied amount of people with us that somebody can connect with, and that connection could be the difference between somebody being there next week, because we've had people say that, you know, 3 weeks ago, Lynette, one of our long-term volunteers, had a conversation with a guy that wanted to end it all. And we had some items on the van that we could have gave him, but she said to him, she convinced him not to, but we didn't give him some of the items that we had, because Lynette said, come next week and I'll make sure I've got them items. So the stuff he wanted was nothing showstoppers, but Lynette wanted him to have a reason to come back the next week. And we got the bits and a few extra bits, and lo and behold, he come back. And we presented him what we had to him. He said, oh my God, I can't believe it. And we've seen him ever since. And every time he said, I've still got my bag. So we've gone from a man, whether he was going to do what he said, saying to Lynette, I've had enough, to seeing that man for the last 3 or 4 weeks now, 2 or 3 weeks we've seen him afterwards, coming up smiling and saying he's still got his bag. So those words of encouragement, and Lynette gave him a bit of a carrot to come back and see us. We delivered the carrot. He's thought, oh, there's something in this. And here he is now, and we haven't heard him say he wants to take his life. I'm sure he still has their moments,
of course,
but he's not having them with us. So I think we take that as a win.
Yeah, see, that's how worthwhile actually volunteering is. And, wow, to be able to say, like, you're saving a life. Because you can point people in the right direction on services as well, can't you? So.
Yeah, look, we've got some connections with services that we can help people with. We're not got our feet under everyone's table, but we can point them and give them advice on where we feel they can go, where they can go and use certain things that they can help with. We have better connections locally in Thurrock because it's easier to build the relationship because we spend most of our time in the Thurrock and Essex area. We have got some good links in Westminster, but that's just because of the time that we've been up there. But again, we can certainly point people in directions and signpost them to try and make it if they're ready for that journey.
Brilliant.
And not everybody is.
No. Steve, listen, thanks for all you do, and Cheryl and Lynette and all your other volunteers as well. And what is it? Yes, foelh.com. So if you're a business out there as well, know someone's a business that wants to get involved and help out, that's how you can do it. Steve, thank you. And what's the tagline again, mate?
#kindness is contagious.
Loving that. Cheers, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.